This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes. Also, make sure to check out and subscribe to our YouTube original channel, UCTV Prime, available only on YouTube at youtube.com/UCTV Prime. This UCTV podcast is sponsored in part by Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of digital audiobooks available, including many by guests you've heard here on UCTV. Audible.com is offering UCTV podcast listeners a free 30-day trial subscription and one free audiobook download. Just visit audibletrial.com/UCTV to sign up. That's audibletrial.com/UCTV. And thanks.
I direct something called the Radiology Outcomes Research Lab on how do we improve the use of imaging, broadly speaking, outcomes. What happens to patients because we image them? And the research has sometimes found that imaging is phenomenal, and we should use more of that test, and sometimes found that that test really doesn't have a good impact. We should use less of it. And so that's sort of broadly what my research is interested in. We have several papers that have shown the use of particular imaging tests, such as computer tomography, have gone up dramatically. And then also shown that the radiation related to CT has ironically gone up as well. It's a little bit of a nuanced discussion, but technical advances in CT imaging have led to increasing ways to use the technology. And that way might include, instead of going through one body part one time, going through that same body part four times. And that might give some more information. I'm not sure how much more information, but whatever information it gives, it increases the radiation dose four times. So our observation of the doses going up and the number of patients getting the test going up has really resulted in a large increase in radiation dose to the population, and thus my interest in seeing what we can do to lower the dose. And there are basically two ways to lower doses to our population. We could either do fewer tests, which I think is an important and viable approach, or we could make every single test we do safer and lower the dose per test. And this grant is really focused on the latter. How do we do whatever tests we're doing, but make them as safe and consistent and balancing the low dose requirement with making accurate diagnoses? So the idea for the project was, let's see what we can do to standardize doses. This UC Center for Health Quality and Innovation called for proposals that would specifically either look at cost or quality issues across the UC medical centers. And I quite honestly jumped at the opportunity as a way to really use this as an example of how we can come up with a system-wide approach, in this case the UC system, to try to really improve what we're doing in this area, because we're talking about very complicated issues, and having a system-wide approach, in my mind, is the only way to solve at least this problem. Maybe every problem in medicine needs a system-wide approach, but there's no way to fix this problem at an individual patient level. It's rather you need to standardize what you're doing across all of your patients to really figure out how to improve it. I'll add one more thing, which is that what we do in the United States around radiation dose oversight is very different than other countries, most European countries, where there's much closer oversight standards, so-called reference levels. This means target reference diagnostic levels that are good for the patient as opposed to leading to excess harm. And we don't have those in the United States. And this becomes a way to sort of create those, I think, in a very powerful way. And I think by having this collaboration with really very established scientists will really help get the ball rolling of creating those standards. So there are five separate aims. The first aim is actually just to establish the collaboration. So there's enormous expertise across the five UC Medical Center campuses, expertise in medical physics, radiation dose optimization, utilization of imaging, how to change clinical practice, education. But until now, we haven't really worked together as a group. So number one aim of the collaboration funded by the UC Office of the President is to begin to collaborate, to begin regular weekly, monthly meetings, to meet in person, and to develop sort of a roadmap of how we're going to work together in the future. So that's the first aim. The remaining aims are a little bit more concrete and task-specific. So aim number two is focused on standardizing and optimizing the protocols we use for medical imaging. So what that means, if a patient comes to one of the UC medical centers with a particular complaint, let's say it's shortness of breath, or right lower quadrant pain, the goal is to have them imaged in pretty much the same way across all UC medical centers. And if we're successful with this project, outside of the UC medical center. So that does not mean the scan will be the same for every single patient. A very large patient will need a different kind of exam than a very small patient. But in general, the way patients will be imaged will be standardized, and that will get rid of a lot of the variation in medical imaging radiation dose that we currently see that's simply not acceptable and not needed. It doesn't help in diagnosis. So that's aim number two, standardizing protocols. Aim number three is focused on education. And when I say education, I mean that quite broadly. We're going to create a very large meeting. It'll be a virtual meeting where we're going to try to educate radiologists and referring clinicians about ordering imaging and protocoling imaging. We're going to educate technologists, the people who conduct the examinations. We're going to educate medical administrators who kind of need to organize CT radiation radiology departments. And then medical students, interested parties who might need to understand radiation, even if they don't need the kind of detailed instructions that technologists need to actually lower the dose. So really broadly, we originally said we were going to educate technologists, and we're absolutely going to do that. But we've expanded our educational effort because of so much expertise in the group to really try to come up with a very standardized fashion in thinking about what we need to do in educating this broad community of people who use medical radiation to improve its safety. So that's aim number three. Got two more. Aim number four is to assess the doses that we use. So my group has led several projects where we've shown that there's a lot of variation in the doses patients might get depending on where they go. And this project is going to expand on that by really looking at dose across the five UC medical centers as well as other institutions to sort of get a handle on what the magnitude of the problem is. We know doses are higher than they should be, but we don't really know what doses patients usually get. And so for Project 4, we're going to do that. We're also going to do that both before, historically, and after a whole lot of the efforts we make to standardize lower doses, basically to show if you focus on this problem, you can improve it. The last aim of the project is starting in less than 6 months, there's legislative requirements in California to report radiation dose information for medical imaging in the patient's record. It's an enormous change. California is the only state that has this law, though there are many other states considering it. And it's a very tricky problem, both what to report, the technical information's not clear how to report it, reporting it in a meaningful way to patients is not that straightforward, and then how to report it. How to get this information in the medical report as required by the law are two really big challenges that we have to work on very quickly. So the last aim of our project, our collaboration, is to come up with a unified solution across the UC medical centers, and hopefully that will be adopted by really all the radiologists in the state and all the people who conduct medical imaging studies to figure out how to respond to the California law and do so in a way that's really meaningful for patients. Our goal is not to present a number that will panic patients, but rather will inform. We'll help patients and referring clinicians understand that there's radiation used for medical imaging. In general, it's safe, but you only need to, or only should consider using it if it's really going to help in diagnosis, help the management with the patient, because if not, then you're taking on a small risk without any benefit. And so putting that information in the medical record, from my point of view, is the first step towards using imaging more appropriately, because you'll understand that it's got some small risk associated with it. Welcome. My name is Rebecca Smith-Beinman, and I'm a radiologist and an epidemiologist at the University of California, San Francisco. Our group today is a collaborative effort of investigators for a project called the UC DOSE, University of California Dose Optimization and Standardization Endeavor. It's a project that's been funded by the UC Office of the President, a health quality and innovations project. And I was hoping to give you a sense of what our project's about and what we're trying to accomplish. So just a tiny bit more background about the focus of the project, and then we'll sort of get into the meat of why we're focusing on this. The project is focused on computed tomography. And just as a tiny bit of background about computed tomography, It's a relatively new technology that uses x-rays to provide extraordinarily detailed views of the body. It's been in widespread use over the last few decades, but over the last 10 years has really increased dramatically. When a whole broad range of individuals are asked about the most important technologies in medicine and what things have been transformative in medicine, CT technology usually comes at the top of that list. CT has really transformed how we make medical diagnosis, how we treat patients, how we know of diagnoses earlier at an earlier stage, leading to improved outcomes. So there's widespread agreement that it's a really fantastic technology in the setting of trauma, diagnosis for cancer, lots and lots of settings. But one of the things that's unique about CT is the amount of radiation it uses, and it uses much higher doses than conventional x-rays. So if a patient in the past would have an x-ray to diagnose pneumonia, they now may have a CT scan, and that might deliver a dose of radiation that's 100 times or 500 times higher. And we know that x-rays can lead to risk, very small risk, but an increased risk of cancer. And so one of the major goals of our collaboration is to try to understand how we can use this fabulous technology in a way that really promotes health and improves the quality of care while minimizing any harms and minimizing the radiation. And so I thought we would start by just giving a little background of why have we seen so much about CT technology in the news over the last couple of years?
There's a couple of things that have happened. Most people who follow the medical industry and follow the news in general, there's been a couple of fairly well-publicized, we'll call them radiation accidents in regarding CT. In addition to that, it's such a powerful diagnostic tool, as you say, it's such an effective diagnostic tool that it's very heavily utilized. And so I think one of the questions we're going to try to address is it being overutilized, and to try to concentrate on how to more appropriately utilize it. No one argues how effective it is and how powerful it is, but because there is this risk, it is small perhaps, but when we talk about lots of people, we have to consider that in the greater context. So we call it low dose, or we just want to make sure we're optimizing the dose.
Devices have grown tremendously in capabilities over the last several decades and really have improved patient care, as Rebecca and Chris have both said. Some of us are old enough to remember when we used the term exploratory surgery, and imaging, and specifically CT, has eliminated a lot of those. So it's really been a boon to patient care. And because of these technical developments, the capabilities and the power of these machines has grown dramatically as well, increasing the possibility for some of the accidents that Chris has talked about. So we really have to be much more careful, because the machines can do a lot more, both technically and clinically, than they could before. And so now we have to be much more aware and careful of what we're doing. But we know we can deliver good care, but we just have to do it carefully and mindfully.
One of the things that we really have to be aware of is the fact that these devices, which have this power, also are very complex. And part of the UC dose effort is to make sure that we have the appropriate education and training so that individuals know how to use these systems in an effective way.
I think that segues very nicely into sort of understanding the complexity. So if we look at it from an individual patient's point of view, a patient, let's say, has shortness of breath, pretty severe shortness of breath, that brings them to an emergency room. Some of our prior work has shown that depending on which emergency room it brings them to, or depending on what time of day they go, the radiation they receive from that scan will be profoundly different. It might be 10 or 20 or 50 times higher if they go to facility X versus facility Y. Well, why is that the case? I mean, the technology's tricky, but can't the technologist just press the button that says this is the right dose for that clinical question?
Well, I think Rebecca's asking a very difficult question, and there's a lot of discussion and debate about where this variation is coming from. I know that when we teach classes to our residents, and I talk to patients myself who have these kind of questions, people tend to think, and perhaps understandably so, that if they have a CT scan, that it just means one thing. I get this kind of a scan, and there's a book, and that's the dose from it. When in fact, of course, these scans are very highly individualized for specific clinical purposes. So you could have everything done all of us could agree on how it should be done, and depending on the patient size and the actual clinical indication, those scans can differ tremendously and everything would be appropriate. Add on to the fact, on top of that, that in this country, of course, there are no standards, no laws, certainly, in terms of how much dose you can receive. The manufacturers, of course, of the machines are regulated by the FDA, but how those machines are used is essentially up to the states and up to the physicians. And that is something that has existed for ever since CT has been around, but I think with the recent events and certainly the utilization of CT, it's really come to the forefront that it's quite a bit of variation, and that's what we're struggling to deal with.
Just to extend, we're trying to deal with it, and we're trying to fill a little bit in the gap of what is the right dose. So you've certainly described some legitimate variation, but then there's some not legitimate variation, variation that doesn't help our patients, and we, I think, need to do a better job as a community of physicians, physicists, technologists at figuring out what's the right dose and how to get to that location. And I think I was hoping that Mayel could just explain a little bit around cardiac imaging, because I think that's one area that the amount of variation is pretty dramatic, and yet they've made some strides in improving.
Yeah, the dose on the cardiac CT sort of varies quite a bit. It can be very low, and it can be very high too. And a lot of factors are playing on this, you know, how to achieve the right dose for cardiac CT. And having said that, I think the factors playing to reduce the radiation dose on cardiac CT includes new technologies, and then new reconstructive algorithms, and also the basic sort of dose reducing strategies by the technologist. Some of the basic methods we can employ on the cardiac CT is sort of the scan length. Simple is we can go from the carina down to the diaphragm, and if you don't know, they, sometimes the technologist can scan the entire chest.
Why wouldn't the technologist currently just scan less on every patient?
Well, one of the main reasons is the sort of the different platforms we have, and sort of a different sort of techniques they have to undergo, and then they're not adequately trained on how to employ this type of radiation dose reduction strategies. And we can go to basic reducing methods to very advanced reducing methods.
So fantastic. And I think one of the focuses of our grant is really to broadly improve the education of technologists, of radiologists across the UCs and a wider audience to see if we can sort of really have an impact on lowering doses through some strategies, such as being able to use this really fancy technology more effectively and to do some simple things that might bring the doses down. Bob, I was hoping you could just, because Mayel mentioned it, give us a sense of sort of part of what we have to do is improve how we use the technology.
As been mentioned, these machines are very complex. They're technologically extremely sophisticated and continue to increase in their complexity. And some of that effort has been put into making, for example, exams faster so you can acquire the data quicker. It's increased the ability to freeze motion so the image quality is better. But there also is a lot of effort on the part of the manufacturers to use the technology to reduce the dose for a given amount of information, that is, for a given image quality. And this includes new ways of creating the image. It's a reconstructed image. CT was really the first digital device. It led the digital revolution, which is why it's been such a momentous change in medicine. But that reconstruction technology can take advantage of faster computers, for example, and it allows us to do things in the reconstruction which enable a lowering of dose. There are also what I call front-end technology advances, where you trim some of the unneeded radiation that occurs at the front and the start of a scan. There also are better detectors that can be developed, although the gain there is relatively small at this point. So there's better ways of eliminating scatter, perhaps. So there's a number of technology advances that have significantly impacted dose. One of the biggest advances has been what we call tube current variation, where you actually modify on the fly the output of the X-ray tube depending on the thickness of the patient. And that has been a way of reducing dose to in certain body part areas, and actually others, it can increase it, but it maintains a very good image quality. So there is a lot happening in this area that's probably the there's a lot of focus on the part of the manufacturers to try to bring CT doses down, and that's a technological solution.
The goal would be to give them a meaningful answer, not only on their dose, but probably more importantly, what the risk associated with that dose might be. Because, as has been pointed out, CT scanners are very complex. They have very capable systems that can image in a variety of ways. The dose per slice, the dose over the volume of tissue that's radiated, whether the tissue has been imaged multiple times, such as might be the case for a more dynamic study, such as a cardiac exam, all of those come into assessing the dose for the individual. The machine reports a dose number. However, it does not take those nuances into consideration. And as a result, the number that is present on the console to the technologist that could be conveyed to the patient may not be an accurate reflection of the actual dose received, in addition to other technical parameters that enter into how we measure dose.
So kind of complicated. We want to give them the answer, and we want the answer to be meaningful, but we're not quite there yet as a group community of how to present that information.
That is correct.
So is that a problem for us, Mike, as UCs?
It is a bit of a problem because our patients want to know, and so do we, as radiologists and physicists, we want to know that answer. And I think that we know how to get an answer for an individual patient. We can do that. What's really hard to do is do that on a really broad scale for everybody that comes through our doors and all the complexity kinds of exams that we do. It's really hard to get that. Regardless, the state of California is leading the nation. It's passed a law in the fall of 2010 and says that we have until July 1st of 2012, and then we have to start reporting doses.
So 6 months.
We have less than 6 months so that we have to report the dose of the exam in every patient's report. So the law was pretty specific about what we have to report, but it gives us some flexibility to improve upon that because the numbers that we're giving now are not, they're subject to the problems that Tom described a minute ago. They're dosed to a cylinder of plastic, not the dose to an individual patient. We have some ideas about how to improve that, but it's going to take some time and the efforts of this group to help push those ideas forward. But we have to do something July 1, and we hope to do something much more meaningful as things go along.
And part of what we're trying to do as a group is to develop a roadmap for how we can do that in the best way, one that makes clear that there is radiation, that we probably need some parameters of what's the right amount, and this is a way that patients can understand that in sort of a meaningful way.
Basically, the issues in the way in which we report dose are different for different manufacturers. What that will do is lead to a different dose index that may or may not be representative of the patient. It might cause a concerned parent to have a misunderstanding of what we really are attempting to do. It can lead to parents perhaps not allowing their kids to have needed CT scans, as an example. What I'm really excited about this particular project, because we have an opportunity now to share all of these ideas and to share informatics tools and other infrastructure that the University of California provides us so that we can help everyone. I'm really, really very excited because I've been at UC Davis for 29 years, and this is really the first time that we've really taken an effort to look at us as a community of the University of California, which is really something that I think is going to go a long way to help understand some of these issues and the complexities of dose and helping patients understand why they do occur.
I think what's been very exciting to me is sort of both get to work with all of you and realize the depth of expertise, but we need a system-wide approach for fixing an issue of this complexity. I think Indeed. We've each been working in our own silos of how to fix different pieces of the problem.
We reflect off of each other and get a really nice sense of an understanding of what might be a problem. I haven't even considered a problem that perhaps Chris at UCLA or Mike or even within our own institution, it opens our eyes.
Along that line, I think what I was very excited about in the discussion yesterday is I think at each institution we've worked on one piece and that we can sort of not reinvent the wheel, but share our wheel with the other centers. So, Raman, I thought maybe you could just give a little sense. I know you've been at UC Davis for a couple of years. In this area of sort of standardizing what we're doing or simplifying what we're doing, can you give a little bit of sort of what you think you've done a good job at UC Davis?
I think standardizing is quite a challenge because you can standardize the protocol.
And what's a protocol? Remind us.
Prescription that the radiologist is going to make to the technologist, or you're asking the machine to scan the patient, and you're prescribing the technical parameters that are going to be used to scan the patient, and the amount of radiation dose that the patient is going to get is largely going to depend upon the protocol that you prescribe or the protocol you pick, and that's why it's very important to tie the protocol into the clinical indication, because at least we believe, and this group largely believes, that every clinical indication should be dealt with differently. So the whole paradigm of the one size fits all, and that's why I believe when you did your study at UCSF, you found that huge variability for this. I think part of the reason for that was that the one size fits all approach does not work, as we've gotten into the complexity of scanners these days. And also we have to realize what we've added to that is we're using CT for more and more indications. Remember, we're using CT for only a couple of indications when CT first started. The very first CT scans were only done to look at the brain. Then we started looking at the chest, and we started looking at the abdomen, and we were looking at just a few things, and now we're looking at almost every clinical question we're trying to answer with CT. So there's a lot of indications. Now back to the standardization aspect, I think standardization has about two or three different levels. What we've noticed is that within a facility, within an institute, you can have two or three different scanners, and those could be within the same building, or they could be at different sites. There could be an inpatient scanner, an outpatient scanner. So standardization would first entail within your institution is, are all your different scanners sort of following the same protocols that are standardized? And the reason that can be challenging is because all three scanners could be scanners from different vendors. So that makes it challenging is, You want to give the same radiation dose to these patients, but yet you've got different machines that work differently. So first, I think it's at an institutional level where the standardization needs to happen. Then we move to the next step, and like what we're trying to do, what we've also noticed is within institutions you can have different sites, like you have at UCSF, which is a large operation, involves the VA, the Moffitt, Mount Zion, China Basin, and SFGH. So now you've got five different institutes within an institute and who are having not only different manufacturers' equipment, but different generations. So, I mean, some of the equipment could be dating back to 2000, some of the equipment could be bought in 2005, and some of the equipment could be bought in 2009, and every new generation of equipment works differently or has different capabilities.
And part of it is sort of, and then the people who are giving the instructions on this incredible diversity are different people. And we don't have that clear set of this is what we should be trying to do based on some national guidelines to help guide where we go. And thus it's not surprising that we've sort of found the kind of variation.
Even across the UCs, we may be very different. And then when we take it to the next step up, we'll have to see, compare the UCs to probably hundreds of practices in the state of California and thousands across the country. I mean, everybody could be scanning very differently, and that would lead to a large variation in the doses. What you found.
So one of the benefits of having such a large collaborative group is we have all the manufacturers represented.
So I'd just like to thank the University of California system for the opportunity that we are engaging on here. This is the five medical centers of the University of California system, and the issues that we are tackling are really issues that institutions across the country and really across the world need to take on. And I hope that our exercise in the next 3 years will serve as a model for that, because although there are some technical issues that we can probably work through, what we're really talking about is changing the practice of medicine and changing long-held understandings on the part of physicians about how medicine is practiced, diagnostically speaking here. And that's not an easy goal. I mean, usually that takes generations to actually change the practice of medicine, and we're trying to do it in 3 short years, and I think we have a good game plan for addressing that, and we'll see how successful we are in the end. But I do think that with all the talent aligned amongst you all, that we'll be able to accomplish that.
I think that's a great note to end on. Just to say, we will meet all those goals in the end of 3 years. I have no doubt. No doubt. Fabulous.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.